Välkommen till Hästveterinärerna, en podcast från Boehringer Ingelheim Animal Health. I den här podden samtalar vi med specialister från olika områden inom hästmedicinen. Med det gemensamt att de delar vår och din passion för hästarna.
Hej och välkommen tillbaka till Hästveterinärerna, podden för dig som är veterinär eller djursjukskötare och arbetar med hästar. Jag som pratar heter som vanligt Maria Wilhelmsson. Vi fortsätter vårt samtal med Janne Spanner som arbetar med embryotransfer hos häst. Och i det här avsnittet pratar vi mer om stona som är involverade.
Welcome back to the podcast, Janne.
Thank you very much.
So we talked about the process of producing the embryos and what happens to them in the last episode. And this coming episode, we're going to dedicate a little bit more to the mares. And there are, of course, two mares involved here, the donor and the recipient. So let's start with the donor. What are the prerequisites for them? Which mare will qualify for this process?
We do it, the oocyte pick on mares from 3 years to, I think the oldest one was 25. And of course, as in human beings, when we are dealing with these old mares, the chances of getting a blastocyst is coming down, you know, so it's quite low for the old mares. I think the average age of the mares we do in our laboratory is around 14 years. What we look at and what is most important is, of course, that the mare is in a general good condition. We look at the number of follicles. So every Friday, we do the oocyte pickup Monday and Tuesday. So the Friday before, we scan the mares and we actually count the number of follicles. So we want the mares to have at least 10 to 15 follicles in the size of a half centimeter to 2.5 centimeter. And if you heard the first session, it really is a matter of the size of the follicular wall. If it's a small follicle, it's easier to scrape the whole area compared to a large follicle. So we want them to have many small follicles. And that's why it's really ideal to do the OPU in the period from September, October and until March, where the mare comes into a transition phase or even an anestrus. With this characterized with these grape look-alike ovaries. So many small follicles is really ideal.
So where in the sort of cycle, does it matter where the mare is in her cycle, in her oestrus cycle?
Yes, or actually no. It's for us, when we do the oocyte pickup, we prefer to have them in between the heat. And it's because when the mare is in heat, she'll have like a large follicle and can be a bit difficult to get the smaller ones. And very often she don't have a lot of smaller ones because the large follicle has told the small ones to disappear. You know, we talk about the dominant follicle. So we prefer to have it done in between the heat. So normally in middle diestrus is a good time to do it.
Okay. Then speaking of which qualifies, are there any mares that you would definitely not recommend to become a donor? That disqualifies them, sort of?
Yes, I would say that if we are not, you know, since we're not inside the uterus compared to a normal embryo flushing, it doesn't really matter that the mare has a slight bit fluid in the uterus. Many of the mares we deal with are infertile or at least subfertile. So there is something going on, some inflammation inside the uterus. But once we had a mare that had actually La Pyometra, which are loads of fluid, very infected, and that is, of course, not ideal to do the OPU here because no matter how you put it, there'll be fluid coming out of the uterus into the vagina, and there is a risk of bacteria. So when I go out in with my guide and my needle, there is a chance that I can transfer bacteria from the vagina and into the abdomen, and I'm not interested in that. So if it's massive fluid, you have to do something about that before you do the axial OPU. And it's also a matter about if you have a pyometra, the uterus is very heavy and it's difficult to lift up for me, and it's much more difficult to grab the ovary. So we don't do that. But otherwise, I would say Nearly all mares can be done. We talked a little bit about the young, the very young mares. Some of them are not very used, are not very, not even handled, but also it's difficult to get or grab the ovaries because it's much more, you know, short of the ligaments, so it can be very difficult. So some of them are not ideal and some of them are perfectly fine. And the ones that we can do the OPO on is very good for a normal embryo flushing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are there times when you actually will abort a session or like say that we can't do this one, sorry, you will have to go home again?
Yes, I do that. And I always, when you know, especially when people are coming or bringing a young mare, I always tell them that there is a chance that I cannot do this. And we have a certain amount of sedation that we want the mares to have. And I never, you know, cross that border. So I'm very strict. And I always tell the owner that, yes, you're welcome to bring your young mare. So I'm happy to do it. Some of them are perfectly fine, but some of them are others. And it will often be the right ovary that can be a bit difficult due to the anatomy of the intestines. So sometimes it's very easy just to do the left side. So we have mares, young mares, where we only do the left side. So we just, you know, count the follicles on the left side. And if she has enough follicles there, we'll just do it and everything will be fine. But there are mares that don't tolerate the process because they're too young and they feel pain when we do it. And then we just stop the procedure and put them back in the box. And I've never, you know, had any complaints from owners because we talk the process through before we get started. So I think it's really important.
Yeah. And it's also, as we discussed before, very the ethical perspective here, how much pain are they supposed to be tolerating. But from what I understand, then this procedure is normally not painful if the anatomy is right and if the mare is a bit older and it's a more uncomplicated process.
It's, you know, we give them a normal sedation as we would do if we did a dentistry or something on the mare. And and then, of course, we give her some painkillers and antibiotics just the day of the OPO. And sometimes we, you know, they need a, that would be it most often. So, yeah.
Mm. So how does one then prepare the donor mare before they go to you? And what do you do then to prepare them at your facility and so on?
The frustrating thing is that there's nothing we can do to get more follicles, actually. You know, they've done plenty of studies and there's nothing that is really working. I think it's important that the mare is healthy. Also, the older mares, you know, that she's fed correctly. So it's always just very often a matter of time, you know. At some stage, you'll have enough follicles. And there are mares that always have a lot of follicles. And then there are other mares that have it only every 2 or 3 months. So we have to wait quite a long time in between each session. And suddenly she has enough. So it's a question about screening. And that's, of course, frustrating. You know, I want the mare to have the OPO on next week, but sometimes she doesn't have enough follicles. And then it's better just to wait. And it's always, you know, a question about increasing the chances. And of course, we want the result to be successful. So we'd rather just wait until she's ready instead of just going through the procedure without getting a good result. So it's a question about waiting. So we don't do a lot for the mares at our facility. You know, they go out to a paddock. They hold just normal horse holding. They go out to a paddock during the day and come in the evening. And we try to feed them correctly, of course. And then we scan them every Friday. And if there are enough follicles, I say at least 10 to 15 smaller ones, then we'll do the OPO then the week after.
And so how many, like if I would have a horse in the north of Sweden and I would like it to donate some oocytes to you, how long would I have to stay in southern Denmark?
for once we have also clients from the northern part of Sweden. So they would normally arrive, you know, the day before the OPO session just to have the horse time to relax and calm down after his transport. And then we'll do the oocyte pickup the day after. And then I'll say the day after again, they are able to go home. Or people leave the horses for maybe 1, 2 or 3 sessions. Maybe it's not competing or had some kind of damage, so it cannot be in sport anymore. And then they'll just leave them for a few months and come back and get them again. So they, it it really depends on what you prefer.
Okay, so but normally it would only take one session, sort of, to recover what you can.
We can, yeah, we recall what we can in one session. So that's common that we do that. So, but it's not a guarantee that you get a blastocyst or an embryo in the end, and then you will have to come back, of course.
So, next, when everything is set, you have a vital embryo, it needs to go into the recipient mare.
Yes.
Which mares are then suitable to become recipient mares?
We normally look a lot on the age of the mare, from 3 to 8 years. That's what we prefer. So younger mares, in my opinion, they don't need to have had a foal before. I'm happy to use a clean uterus. And, you know, people are always a bit worried about that the mare will not tolerate the foal, or there will be trouble with the nursing and all that stuff. But it's not, it's something we see very rarely. So I'm happy to use maiden mares as well. So 8 years would be nearly the upper limit, unless it's a mare that has been taking lots of ICSI embryos and she's just like in a continuous cycle, getting an ICSI embryo each year and actually getting pregnant. But 8 years would be our upper limit. And we use different breeds. It could be warm blood, or we have quite a lot of trotters, which we are very happy about using. So I'm not too concerned about the breed. And one other consideration is, of course, the size of the recipient. And it's something people worry a lot about, but it's not... they've done a lot of studies about that. And it seems like that even though you have a small recipient and a large donor mare, you know, this foal will be a quite bit smaller when it's born. But at the age of 3 years, it will have the exactly the same size as if you compare to a larger recipient. So it's nothing you have to worry about. Of course, we don't put a warm blood mare into a Shetland's pony, but if you know, a small trotter or embryo from a warm blood mare in a small trotter is not a problem at all.
Okay. So how do you find these recipient mares? Do the client need to have one themselves, or are there stud farms that provide this service, sort of? Or
yeah, that's always a bit of a nightmare actually right now, after all this ICSI and OPO has been that popular and we're producing that many embryos, is actually to be able to get enough recipients. So it's a worldwide problem. There is a lack of recipients or good quality recipients. So normally we say that we have around 15 or 20 recipients now. But normally we will ask people to find their own recipient, you know, because, you know, they will know that mare very well. And it's not very funny to get all these complaints about the behavior of the recipient mares, because sometimes, you know, they'll behave differently when they're in a herd at our facility compared to being in a small stable. So I think it's difficult to find a mare that you like yourself. So most people do that, but there are in Sjælland at Højelse Hesteklinik, they have a quite a large herd of recipients, and some of them are used for ICSI embryos as well. So there are places also outside Denmark where you can actually rent recipients where there are lots of herds, but we don't have like these huge herds in Denmark, and I don't think they have any in Sweden as well, or Norway actually, to be honest. So recipients is a kind of a problem.
Okay, so the best thing then maybe is to just find one yourself. Also, I guess if you are breeding a foal, you might want to visit it sometimes. And
yeah, exactly. But very often, you know, when people rent a recipient at our facility, you know, they'll get the recipient mare home. When the mare is pregnant, when the mare is pregnant 4 to 5 days, they'll just bring the recipient home and take care of her as she was their own mare. Then they have a good chance to look at the foal. And then after she's giving birth, they'd return the recipient again to our place, and we can use her again.
Okay. So I guess then to preparing of the recipient mare is a little bit, you need to be a little bit more cautious than maybe and specific. Tell us about the preparation of the recipient.
Yeah, that's really, really important. So when we get recipients in, we always, you know, take a good look on her general condition, if she's in a good weight. And of course, also her confirmation, her vulva confirmation is really important. And the most important thing is looking at the uterus. So we do a thorough ultrasound examination. And on my first examination, you know, I don't want to see any fluid or anything that I need to worry about. So the ICSI embryos is a little bit more sensitive compared to the in vivo embryos. So it's really important that everything is perfect. Mm. Also, if you put in mind that this is a costly procedure, so you know you want to do everything as optimal as possible. So I think it's important that you don't use anything that yet you think is good enough. It has to be really good. So we do an ultrasound examination, and we always transfer the embryos 4 days after the recipient has had her ovulation. Mm-hmm. And it has to be 4 days. You know, the success rate starts to drop when you go to day five and six. So we prefer to do it late day three or day four. That's where we have the highest pregnancy rates. And to know when is day four, you have to scan the mare every day when she is in estrus. And this is something that can be a little bit, frustrating because people are not used to doing that. So you have to come back nearly the same time of the day, because otherwise there could be 1.5 day in between your ultrasound examination. Yeah. Mm. So, you know, if you come and do the ultrasound examination in the morning, you have to do it at the same time the day after. And when she's got an ovulation, you know, people call us and say, my mare has ovulated. There are a lot of good referral vets out there that actually prepare the mares. And then they just call us and say, now the mare has ovulated. And we know, okay, now it's 4 days. And then we have to thaw the embryos and transfer it. So the mare either comes to our clinic and we do all the preparation, or the mare is transported to our clinic at the day of the transfer. So we transfer the embryo and she goes back again. Or we have a small incubator, so we're actually able to thaw the embryos in our laboratory and drive all around the country and transfer embryos. So I do that a lot in the season. I have a lot of trips to the northern part of Sjælland or the northern part of Jylland to transfer embryos, and that is working very well.
Mm. And that process, I guess, is not very invasive. You just put it there, basically.
Yes, actually. So we pack the embryos in a holding media in a small straw, and it's exactly the same as a normal embryo transfer. If you've done an embryo floss, the difference is just that an in vivo embryo, the one we get from a normal embryo floss, are larger than the ICSI embryos. Okay. So they are more difficult to see, and you have to have more experience to handle the ICSI embryos. But they're packed exactly the same way, so we put them into our stylet, and then we, you know, clean the recipient mares very thoroughly. We give her a small shot of sedation, and then we transfer the ICSI embryo through the cervix and into the uterus. And after, 10 days, very often we do it a bit earlier because we are too curious. But then you can do the pregnancy examination to see if there is a pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. And what is the pregnancy rate then after this?
You should expect at least 65% to 70%, and even a little bit higher. One thing you have to be aware of with these ICSI embryos, so that can, even though you only transfer one embryo, they are actually able to develop twin pregnancies. So this is something you have to be aware of when you do your 25 or 30 days ultrasound examination or pregnancy tests. Mm. So we always recommend people to do that, because it's a small risk, but there is a risk of getting a twin pregnancies. And it's always very frustrating because people, you only transferred one embryo and then we have two here. But the thing is, you know, they are in the same vesicle. So there are two embryos in one vesicle, which is different from a normal twin pregnancies.
Ah, okay, and you can't tell if it's two or one if it's in the same.
You can, yeah, but you just have to, you can, but you have to be more careful. Not just, you know, scanning and it's a pregnancy. You have to, you know, do it a bit more slowly and to make sure there is only one heartbeat. And it is easy enough to see if you know that you have to look for it. But if you don't know that there is a chance that it can produce a twin pregnancy, then there is a chance that you won't see it.
Mm. Thank you very much, Jenny, for this talk. And in the next episode, we'll do some miscellaneous questions and also a little bit about post-mortem embryo production. That sounds exciting. Thank you.
Thank you.